Hey everyone, my name is David and welcome to For the Sake of Search, the podcast about everything search and search engineering. Today we're going to be talking about hiring for search, and I'm really excited. I have Brian here with me from the Search Bar. Brian, you founded the Search Bar. What is that and who are you?
The Search Bar is a staffing company that's exclusively focused on placing search engineers and search professionals on search teams. And my background is the last 8 years I've been working in search as an executive at a search company that was helping manage Elasticsearch, OpenSearch, and Solr for companies.
Very neat. Very neat. So, you know, we're talking about hiring for search, and you obviously have a lot of experience with that, and especially recently with your new company. So, like, what are you seeing out there in the like search hiring space? What does that look like?
Yeah. Have you ever been surfing before, David?
I think you have.
You grew up on the beach, right? Yeah.
I live at the beach. However, I've been searching only a handful of times.
Okay. Well, for the, 1% of listeners out there that have surfed, I'll tell this story because it kind of reminds me of what the time that we're in right now. So when I was in high school, I grew up on the beach here in Southern California, and to make a little extra cash, I would teach surf lessons. And so the tourists would come in the summer, I would open up my little stand on the beach, and they would come in and say, "Hey, I want to go surfing. Can you help me get out there and catch a couple waves?" And so what I would tell everyone is surfing is 20% having the skill to stand up on a board and balance, and it's 80% understanding what the ocean is doing. And the reason for that is when you're in the water, it's really all about being in the right place at the right time to catch the wave. And it's this exhilarating feeling when you understand what the ocean's doing to be in that place, and you kind of anticipate and see what's coming, when the wave's going to be there, getting in just the right spot so you can get the ride just how you want it. And that's how search and AI is feeling to me. It's really exciting. It feels like we are in a really good position to be a part of something that's quite transformational. I spend just to kind of reference the last couple of weeks, I've had 20 conversations. This, like, every week it's talking to 10 search engineers or product managers in search, CTOs, and these are things we're talking about, is how do we get good people on our teams? And how do I, and for, the engineers, they're really asking, like, how do I get on a team that's working kind of on the forefront of innovation and search and AI?
Yeah, no, that is actually really challenging because, like, from the outside, you look at a company and you say, "Hey, look, they look like what they're doing is really cool," but there's a lot to be also found in the interviews. Like, are they actually doing things that are exciting, or does it just seem like they're doing things that are actually exciting?
Yeah.
But, and the search thing resonate, or surf thing resonates with me as well, because in the handful of times that I've gone surfing, I have been either too far out and, wasn't able to pick up the wave, or too far in and got absolutely crashed into. So, why don't we start from like the business's perspective, right? Like, what are companies saying? Like, I know I've seen this personally. Like, I think there are a ton of Elasticsearch and OpenSearch engineers out there because of observability, but observability users, I feel like, don't really convert into search users. So, like, as a business, how do you find people? Like, what is the criteria they're using, or like, where do they even look? Because I feel like a lot of times you put an Elasticsearch listing up and you're going to get just dozens and dozens of applicants who are not in the space you want.
Yeah. Let me share a couple of stories that I've heard from clients and just people in the industry that I think will illustrate some of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So first one, they posted a job. They internal recruiting got over 200 applicants. So they posted, they're looking through 200 people. They whittle down some short list, and not a single person passed the first interview. and the position went unfilled for a year, and they abandoned it. Okay, as a mid-sized company, search is mission critical. It's a key part of their business. Another one, position open for 5 months. They used a third-party IT recruiting firm and internal recruiting to source some number of candidates. They didn't have one person pass the technical backend assignment. Another one, position open for 4 months. They allegedly had sourced 2,000 candidates via the posting, social media posts, leveraging personal networks, interviewed 8 people, no offers. Talked to an IT staffing veteran, so somebody who works in kind of general IT staffing, and he's been in that business for 15 years, very successful. And I asked him, hey, do you ever get search roles? And he's like, what's that? You know, like a search engine. You ever heard of Elasticsearch? No, never heard of it. And then this is another interesting story I heard, because I think what probably the most used strategy that companies will do is to have their engineers refer other engineers. And that's kind of seems to be what they're most successful at. And so I talked to a company and they said they've never used internal recruiting or a third party to hire engineers, like other than like the HR function will be involved in that, but they're not really going out and recruiting. And they've been able to hire all of their engineers through incentivizing employees to make referrals. And they did this for a few years, and they apparently just shut it down because they realized over time just the quality of talent was diminishing, and they felt like people were gaming the system for those referral bonuses. So there's a handful of stories of, this is just stories in the last probably 5 months that I've heard. Companies I'm talking to, hiring managers, kind of some horror stories. Yeah.
And now, do you feel like that, like, are they just being unfair on their what is it called? Their testing internally, like once they get the applicants, are they just not finding the right people? Like where do you think the challenge is there?
I think it's a combination of a few factors. I think it is hard to find the right people in search, especially if you don't understand search. I mean, that's a pretty, it's a pretty tall order there. It's hard to find the people. And I think the biggest problem that I've seen is companies are not confident about what they're building with search.
Yeah.
So it's one thing to backfill a role on an existing search team or a mature product.
Yep.
A lot of the teams that I work with are not so much in that state. They're kind of more like developing new things with search, you know, integrating RAGs, using LLMs. And so it's kind of new stuff. And the reality is they just don't know what they're building. And so they have these job descriptions where, you know, you and I would look at them we've worked in search for a long time, and you just have a lot of questions. You're like, what exactly are you trying to do with this job description? This is four people, and it doesn't really make sense. Like, there's contradictory things in here. So that's the biggest thing. And when I have clients, part of the onboarding with me and the search bar is we'll really talk through kind of at a deep level, like what is their product roadmap with search? What are they building? What's blocking them? We'll get into some kind of like strategic conversations and then work down into the job descriptions from there.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a ton of sense. I posted about this on LinkedIn just today, actually, because I was like, you know, I think people have a misconception of what search is. You know, like, you wouldn't hire a network engineer to come build front-end code. You wouldn't do a front-end engineer to build infrastructure pipelines. So why would you hire just like a generic software engineer? I'm going to say generic. Apologies to all those people out there like myself who are generic software engineers. But really, you need to hire a search engineer, and especially when you're starting, you know, because they have the understanding, like, these are the things we're going to need to, like, a year down the road, 5 years down the road to, you know, fill those kind of long-term challenges, which if you're not in search, you just wouldn't know.
I've wondered about this. What do you think? What is the percentage of software engineers that are search engineers?
So that's a great question.
If you had to guess, obviously, like we don't know for sure. Like, what do you think it is?
I would guess we're in the 0.01 or 0.05%. As far as I'm aware, and this also there are a lot of caveats to that, right? Because Google is huge. Like, Google is a large portion of software engineers, and they would describe themselves as search engineers. However, there's an interesting thing, and that is that a lot of the people that work at Google, they work at Google for long times because they can't solve big search problems elsewhere. You can't take your expertise from Google and then go start a small search startup. I mean, maybe you can, but it's very challenging because, like, the search field outside of these big companies that have been doing search for a long time, it's still pretty immature. You know, there's still not a lot of integrations into like these search projects. Open Search is starting it with their UBI, user behavioral insight. User behavioral insights, which is like a standard method of logging like what a user did during a search or in general. And that's like really core to search, but it's not being used a lot of places. And then you look at places like search relevant Slack, which is like majority of the search engineers I know. It's probably like, you know, what, a couple thousand people. Now I say that, and then also I go out, and because I worked at AWS, I did the Open Search thing. I also went into the field a lot, and I saw people who I was like, I think you're a search engineer. You spend 25 to 50% of your time building search. But they're like, no, I'm a software engineer. I'm like, but you need to recognize you are a search engineer. If you are building search, you need to start getting into the mindset that I am a search engineer, and there's like a discipline, and I need to learn it. I need to figure it out. And I think that is probably a much greater portion. There might be like 2 or 3% of engineers are working on search, but don't think of themselves as search engineers.
And you're actually bringing light to one of the challenges that I think candidate search engineers have when they're looking for a new role, is it's actually really hard to get the right keyword of the job title because it's so different. A lot of companies just put software engineer. And then you have to read the whole thing to realize, okay, what am I building here? What team is this for? Is this a search team? And that happens a lot. And I find myself having to really scour through the details of a job description to understand, like, okay, is this company hiring a search person? And when I talk to candidates and they show me their resumes, that's one of the common questions they'll say is like, hey, am I marketing myself in the right way? Should I put machine learning engineer? Should I put search engineer? Should I put software engineer? Should I put backend engineer? And yeah, it's one of those kind of moving targets at the moment.
Yeah, it's tough. And actually I felt that because of course I was just on the market for probably like 5 months. Like, we'll say unofficially, like I was doing my own thing, working on my own business. But I mean, I was looking at the beginning and the end of that for several weeks. And, you know, like, having worked in the industry for a little bit, I was like, oh, I know some of the companies that have like real search teams. But then I was trying to find other companies. I was like, surely there are companies. Like, I went for probably Airbnb, and they were looking for someone with a PhD in like relevancy engineering. And I'm like, that's not me. So Airbnb didn't even give me the time of day, but which made it hard. Cause I'm like, all right, I'm a good search engineer, I believe, but I'm not quite that tier, and I'm not certainly bottom tier where I'm going to be doing 99% software engineering stuff and 1% search. So I was like trying to find this middle ground. And I think, like you said, it's undefined because people don't know what they're looking for in that space. And as a result, it's really hard to find.
And we're transitioning into, I think, another, like the modern search engineer, maybe you call it that, you know, they're incorporating AI powered search into either a legacy system, a lexical search system, or something completely new altogether. And so there's so many awkward pockets right now in the market. So you have, if you search on LinkedIn for like search engineer, you'll get on a given day, a few thousand roles will pop up, and yep. most of them will be ML focused.
Yep.
And not necessarily, and most of those aren't actually even like specifically search. so you do have a lot of companies that are, they've got that classic mandate from the top down. What are we doing with AI? We need to do something with AI. And yeah. you end up with, you know, some type of RAG system or chatbot that a company is going to experiment with. And then you get a job description that looks like part of a search engineer and part of a machine learning engineer.
Yeah.
And then you have junior talent, young people entering the workforce that have experience with some of these newer tools through like work internships or school projects, but they don't have the foundation, the long foundation of actual software engineering in their background. Yeah. And then you have on the other side of that, you have seasoned engineers that have, you know, 10 years experience, 15 years experience, and they've been working in search for at least 5 years, but the company they've worked at isn't quite hitting the cutting edge of what's available with these new tools. So they don't get experience with it. They don't have production experience, and that's what companies want. And so you have both sides of the market without production experience, and they're frustrated. Why am I not getting these jobs? And the client's like, why can't we find people to do this? It's an awkward, it is an awkward thing. And I don't know what the solution is. There's very few people with production experience, and they're the ones getting those jobs.
Exactly. And like even further, a lot of the people with production experience, it's only like the last couple of years, you know, like even fewer have, you know, tenure and experience, which it does. It makes it really challenging. And also, like, this is the other hard part. And this used to be my favorite thing. I gave RAG demos with Open Search, and it was silly. Most of it was like not very useful. But the funniest part was, you know, everyone was asking me like, oh, like, are you doing vector search? Are you doing da da da? I said, no. I'm not doing vector search, which was like really controversial. Everyone's like, what? And I'm like, no, like I'm using straight up BM25 search, which also I am not recommending. Like I'm not a BM25 only person. I'm not a vector only person, but like pretty much in both of those disciplines, you need a healthy bit of both. And even more important is like the like down low understanding of like how these types of systems work, because otherwise you're just going to end up with a product that's going to get moonlighted in a year because there was, oh wait, we didn't have any ROI because not enough people used it because it was really bad. But
exactly.
Yeah,
it's interesting. And one of the best things I've seen, and I wish I had more visibility into what other people are doing, but There's a guy named Max Irwin, and one of the things I've seen him do to kind of bridge the gap, especially with some of the younger engineers, is doing like internship apprenticeships with him and getting some real experience. I mean, he's so knowledgeable and experienced in AI powered search and is working on really amazing stuff. And he seems to bring some younger engineers into the mix with him. And I love that. I love the idea of apprenticeships. I hope that comes back into culture.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. And actually coming back to like this idea of like, how do we like build this up? And I think we need to start staffing teams. Like if you have a team that is focused on search, I feel like that team should be like 30% search engineers and like 60, 70% like regular software engineers, like people that we can like build up and start working into, hey, search engineering is a discipline. You might not know the things you need to know, but I will help you and I'll come alongside you and build you into this, which I'm really grateful because that's kind of the position that I'm in right now. It's like I'm the really search focused person on my team. A lot of the other people on my team are infrastructure focused or software engineer focused. So I like bringing up the whole level of the team to, you know, now we're all, you know, qualified in search engineering. But speaking about like the flip side of that. So like, what are companies like that are doing really well that you've found? Like, how are they doing it? What have you seen there?
The best thing I've seen, and this was recently, there's a people ops leader that I've gotten to know over the last few months. She's amazing. And she probably has, I don't know, maybe like 15 years of experience in her field. And she's it looks like her opus magnum is kind of what I call it. She's put together this job kit that she's, you know, pieced together with her experiences over the years. And we used this for a search at her company recently. They had, I said, and I actually told her this will be the hardest role I probably ever work in the history of the search bar. And wow. The person they needed, there's not many of them. The bar is really high. It's a very like high caliber executive team. So anyhow, the standard was very high, and this job kit, you know, most companies will put together a job description. And I've seen a lot of those. Even this morning I just wanted to see how those compare to putting a short little prompt into ChatGPT to make me a job description for a search engineer. It's like, give me a job description for a search engineer that's building a recommendation system. It was a fantastic job description, as good as any job description I see. Easy. So like, that's really not where it's differentiated for these companies to get the right people. So I'll get into what she put in this job kit. The goal of the job kit, which was clearly stated like at the top, front and center of it, was to get exactly the right person for the job. And I love that. It's not just we need somebody to fill a role or put a body in a seat. This is a critical role and we need the exact right person. I love that. Then the document, it was a 5-page document it served as like the single source of truth for all the parties involved. So there's no, you know, information here and there scattered about. It just keeps it real centralized for this search. Everybody involved, this is the only thing we're going off of. And then it sets expectations with each of the stakeholders involved. Like, here's what's expected of you. Very clear. A couple questions that it asked outside of what you would expect in a job description that I thought were really good is, why would somebody want this job? You know, and so the hiring team will have to answer that question.
Yeah.
And then why would we pass on a candidate? So you've now defined kind of why somebody wants this, what's going to disqualify them, so that when you're going through the interviews, you kind of know what the shape of that looks like, what good looks like, and what this isn't the right fit for us. You've defined it.
Yep.
This is so great. I wish more companies would do this. They made a list of companies that have the right people. So these, like, can you recruit out of this list of 10 companies? Because they're either building something similar or they have the type of engineering org that we want to build as well. And so that, and for that search, we didn't find somebody, we didn't pull somebody out of those companies, but it really shows you how well informed this team is of what they want. And that's important. Now, I know I touched on this earlier, but the most important thing is they had a clear product roadmap. And you'd be shocked. Yeah. A lot of companies don't. And this was part of that document. You know, here's the specific desired outcomes, like KPIs listed with timeframes that this person will need to meet them by. And that was shared with candidates. So they either were like intimidated by that, but regardless, they had clear understanding of what's expected of them. And I thought it served as the best. It signaled that this company knows what they're building, why they're building it, and the profile of the person to build it.
Yeah.
And if you have those things, you're going to be very successful.
Absolutely. I can't tell you. I actually remember when I was working at a company doing DevOps, and I remember seeing we lost a member of our staff, or we got a new role open. I forget what it was. And I looked at the job description that they sent over to us to like get our approval. And I'm looking at all the technologies they added on there. I'm like, I don't have experience with 90%. I would fail this interview if this is what's required, you know? And I think a lot of companies do that. They're like, oh yeah, we want the expert in all the things. It's like, yeah, no, you should really know exactly what it is you want out of that person. Sometimes technologies matter. Like I'll say, like, especially for like the newer engineers, like technology stack probably matters a fair bit because, you know, they're going to need much more time to adapt what they know to a new technology stack. Like one, like a great example of this was like, I was trying to build, I'm building some stuff right now with, combining scores from multiple different indexes, which is challenging to do, you know, in any search thing, because BM25 doesn't print out uniform scores. So you have to do some weighting, some adjustments, and like how I would build that in OpenSearch is going to look very different from how I would build that in Elasticsearch, you know? So like in some cases, the technology matters. But if you don't have that use case, then yeah, it's like you could use both, but that's a great question for you. How much of that job kit actually defined the technologies they should know / be familiar with, or is it more of a generic, like, hey, this is the type of person?
It's more the latter. Yeah. There's, they made a couple technology choices that were important that were pretty fixed. And so, those were listed, but they're, and I think what you find with, this is probably for engineers that have been doing this for 7+ years, it's more like, do you have the interest and capabilities to learn new things, to learn new tools? And for most people, the answer is yes. You know, if you have a good programming foundation in, let's say, C++.
Yeah.
Like, and you need to learn Go. A lot of engineers are willing to do that. And that's, in the case, this company was fine with people not having that specific language, as long as they're willing to learn it. Even, and it was like a staff principal level role.
Yeah.
So I never focus on like the keyword stuffing, which is kind of a common thing that recruiters will do. My conversations usually start with, what problems are you solving?
Yeah.
And that seems to be a question that stumps a fair amount of software engineers. It's just like, well, I don't know. Like they'll get there eventually, but I'll have to ask the question 4 different ways to get at like, what are you actually working on? What are you building and what's the value that it has to the business? Because that's the level of conversation that this company is going to want to have with you. Yeah. Like they'll go through a technical test and make sure you have those competencies, but you can really elevate your game and stand out if you start to connect like what your like the technical skills that you have with how it adds value to the business.
Yeah, absolutely. And that knowing that value add is I mean, that's important even outside of, you know, getting hired, you know, even internally for, you know, promotions. If you don't know the value of what you're doing, then you're not going to be able to promote because you can't tell your higher ups like, hey, look, you know, I increased our relevancy by, you know, some great percentage. And to do that, you have to know that you can measure that, number one, and know that that's something that's valuable as well, especially like in e-commerce, it makes a ton of sense. In GitHub, it's a little funny because it's like, well, we don't have like money dollars tied directly to our search, but the user experience is valuable. You know, you don't want users to be like going through pages and pages. Like, why can't I find that issue I opened 3 minutes ago? It's true. So from the flip side, then, like from the engineers that are looking, like what does that look like? I mean, is there hope for them finding it on themselves? Like, should they be just aligning with like a recruiting company or a staffing agency like yours? You know, like what's the best move there?
The applying to a job posting, as much as I don't want to say this, I don't think it's going to yield much for people. Like the volume of applicants is just so high. And so I would say it's relationship based. And that's the premise that I have based this entire company on, is relationship based. Like, this is not a, I do not do high volume, whether it's with clients. Like, each client is very bespoke, and I only take on a few at a time. A few searches at a time. And, you know, I'm also not sending 10 people to an opening. It's one to three, that like at the max. So I would say build relationships, whether it's, you know, find a somebody who has a relationship with a company you want to work at. I don't think there are any other staffing and recruiting companies that specialize in search. So build a relationship with me. I talked to somebody yesterday who's like 3 years of experience and eager, ambitious, talented. And he's like, I want to work at this company and I want to work on this feature. And I said, well, I know that founding team. So I can make an introduction. It's very easy to do that. So, you know, that was coincidental that I had a relationship, but talk to me. Again, like you said, it's probably 0.01% of software engineers working in search. So it is a manageable talent pool, I think, to have relationships and not have it just be like this transactional relationship with the database.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's actually one of the key things. Like, I've talked to a lot of people that I've found are search engineers, and they're like, but how did, well, when I was doing my own consulting, how do you find clients? I said, well, you know, I just started in like search relevancy Slack, which I will not include a link in the description because for some reason that doesn't get populated to like Spotify and all that, but I'll put a little description of how you can find it. Because that was where I got plugged in. And I mean, honestly, part of the reason I wanted to start this podcast was just because not enough people know this community exists. It's here for you. The people in it are friendly and they talk to you. Like, here I have
it's Brian. An amazing community. Yeah. It's people are so generous. I've learned so much from them.
It's so cool. And like my relationship with Brian actually started with someone in the community who I'm a friend with said, hey, if you're looking to do consulting, Brian is starting a staffing company. And, you know, like now you're on my show. It's just so incredibly cool to have a tight-knit community like that. Don't go and at everyone in the channels or anything like that, but definitely go introduce yourself. And if you're in and looking for some work, mention that. Don't be afraid to promote yourself a little bit. Say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I've been working on. I'm looking for work now. And Brian or, you know, someone else there might be able to say, hey, look, I've got an opening that I think is a perfect fit. Or maybe I just know of a company that might be doing that. You know, it was funny when I came to GitHub, I was like, I thought I wasn't going to be a perfect fit. I had discounted myself, my skills. I had gotten so worn down by, I mean, the rejections. You talk about that. I was doing the spray and pray kind of. And it just didn't work. And although I managed to, by the grace of God, get into GitHub on my own, like it was so funny. That was not a reference or referral. That is not the way I would recommend to do it because it was painful doing all of that applying and so demotivating. So yeah, work with someone who can understand you, your experience, and advocate for you.
Yeah. And just a preview, I am in the process of launching something within the search bar that will be community focused and specific to jobs. So it will it will be a place where I think people can engage and feel like they're also like a part of other people in their process of looking for work and how they're doing that, sharing jobs, you know, even profit sharing, spoiler alert. So I'm really excited about it. It's going to be really cool.
I was going to say, I knew about this, but is this the first time you've talked about it kind of publicly?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, you guys are hearing it here first. Hot news off the press, but well, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brian, for, you know, coming on the show, taking the time to be with us, telling us, giving us some experience and expertise. I've not done hiring for search. I hope to one day soon. And yeah, we'll be reaching out and keeping in touch. Thank you so much. Any last thoughts you want to leave with our audience?
I'm here to be a resource. If you need help, anything with your job search, hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to get on a call and help however I can.
Yeah. Also, he's online on the searchbar.ai. So thank you again, Brian. And we will catch you all next time when we talk more about search on For the Sake of Search. You guys take care.